Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and live from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Definitely the sun and fun and cool capital of the world today. This is Dr. John Stamey, and I want to welcome everyone to ScaryCast. All the ScaryCast hosts are here. We're going to have a blast. We're going to have a very interesting show, I believe. And first of all, I would like to introduce the queen of ScaryCast, Robin McCray. How are you doing tonight, Robin?
I'm doing great. Happy to be here with everybody.
We are glad you're here with us. And if you ever get sick, we've got the Surgeon General of ScaryCast, Dr. Trey Donaway. How are you doing tonight, Trey?
Good, John. Happy to be here with y'all.
We're glad you're here, too. And our man from Sacramento, did I get that right, Devin Tate?
Sure did.
Well, good. I called you our man from Pasadena a little bit earlier. But, yeah, no, you're our man from Sacramento. We're glad to have you here. And as everyone with ScaryCast knows, you have a new job. How's it going? Pretty good?
Yeah, really well. Thank you.
Well, we're glad it is, and we're glad to have you on here. And our man from Houston, Texas, Kyler Smith. How are you doing tonight, Kyler?
Hey, guys. I'm doing much better than I was earlier, so let's go. I'm ready.
All right. That's the spirit. Well, tonight we've got an interesting show. A new friend of mine named Clyde Lewis, he wrote a little essay, and it's called The Invaders Are Here. Now, I'm going to ask, does anybody in the room remember that old television show, The Invaders?
I remember the title, but I don't remember watching it.
Okay. Trey, do you remember?
I don't.
I remember Space Invaders, but that's not a show.
Space Invaders, yeah, the video game, but I don't know the Invaders.
Devin, do you remember the Invaders?
I don't think I ever saw it.
Okay, it starred Roy Thinnes as a man who all of a sudden one day he saw a UFO land, and he saw some dudes get out that looked human. They looked very human. Except they had a problem with their little finger on their right-hand side. It was kind of messed up. And if they ever didn't like you, they would put this little thing in the back of your head. They would touch the back of your head, and you'd have, I think it was a cerebral something or other, a cerebral hemorrhage, and you would die.
Problem, yeah.
And so that was the long and the short of it, and he spent three seasons trying to convince the United States government that UFOs were here, and they looked like us. The invaders, the aliens looked just like pretty much humans. It was kind of interesting. He never convinced them, and the show went off after three seasons. What more can I say? So anyway, that brings us to a point, and I think it's an interesting point that we've always thought that if we were going to be invaded by aliens, it would be something like, what was that great movie starring, I can't remember who it starred, but it was called The Day the Earth Stood Still. Michael Rennie starred in Day the Earth Stood Still. And what happened is this UFO landed on the grounds of the White House. And it's like basically out came a robot. And out came, what's his name? And the robot was basically saying, take us to your leader. And Michael Rennie was just out and about messing around talking to humans. And he ended up at a house that was that had a mom and a child played by Patricia Neal, the great Academy Award-winning actress. That was really kind of cool film. And a lot of people like it. But I guess in our culture, we're always expecting the old, the UFO lands on the White House and they say, take us to your leader. Well, it might not be the case. Clyde says, and then I'm going to ask one of our scary casters the same question. Clyde says, you know, they might already be here. They might have been infiltrating us for years. Robin McRae, what do you think about that?
What don't I think about that? To begin with, they've been here forever. Literally, they've been here for years. I mean, back in 47, when they had the Roswell incident, you know, they first had the Eben, and they kept it there for I can't remember how long before it finally died. They had it there for several years, and they also had two other kinds of aliens that were there that were much more volatile, where the Ebens weren't. But they've always been here. They've always been integrating themselves in our world. I mean, and it's their world too. That's what's so crazy about it. And they have them that's walked. I've seen them. They have some that look human and aren't. I was contacted by a race that literally told me how they take possession of people. And they start when people, whoever they target, they start from the time they're born and they watch them grow up into an adulthood. But you can go even, go on Amazon and you're going to see it's Charles Hall has got documentaries out about the tall whites. And he worked at some government facility. I want to say it's at Roswell. Please don't quote me on that. But some facility, and he handled the weather balloons. And the tall whites, they lived on Earth. I mean, they may not have originally come from here, but that's where they're at now. And they lived there, and they had their family units there. And the females would bring the children up to watch with the balloons. And there was a whole protocol he had to go through. If you even talked to the children, looked at the children, made any move toward the children, they would kill you dead. And you had to watch how you spoke to the females. I believe that to be true because it really mirrors a lot of what I've seen in my lifetime with the ETs. You know, and even with the cryptids, there's protocols on how to do everything. You can't, I mean, their worlds and their race and their culture is not ours. You know, the things that we take for granted on how we conduct ourselves, that doesn't work for other races. Everybody has their own way of doing things. But they've been here. They're still here. I've got pictures of UFOs that my son-in-law took while I was standing on my porch. I've got pictures of open portals in my yards. We see UFOs over the house constantly. And I've got a picture of an ET sleeping out in the bushes. You know, people think, you know, oh, my gosh, what if we're invaded by the aliens? Well, big news, they've always been here. I think it's more active now than it ever has been for a number of reasons, but it is more active now, and it will continue to be that way. We have ETs that work in the government. Hell, we have ETs that work with the government. You know, I mean, in reality of it is, and again, this is my opinion, how does anybody think we went from living in caves and beating everything with clubs and rocks to computers? We may be an intelligent species, but we're not that smart. We got technology. When I was 4 years old and I was on that craft, I saw what looked like a modern-day today CAT scan machine. And that was back in 1968 because I was 4 years old. And they didn't even have CAT scan machines then.
Trey, about when did the CAT scan machine get invented? About?
I know the first CT scans in Philadelphia, where I went to medical school, we had to go to one of two hospitals in Philadelphia. So that would have been like in the late 70s. So yeah, I'd say it was available in most big places by the late 70s.
And see, in 1968, what I saw there resembled the CAT scan machines that we've had the last 2 or 3 years. Not the ones previously, but the last 2 or 3 years. And there was a man that they had laying on that table, and there were two tall grays, and then that were dealing with him, and then there were some other small grays that were walking around. But, I mean, they've always had a certain amount here. This may not be their home planet, but there's a lot that are set up here. And then you've got the ones that live in the center of the Earth. The Earth has got tubes and lava tubes all through it. And you've got different areas where some of the bad ETs are at and other races that are relatively decent. But they've been here. They haven't gone anywhere. You know, it doesn't mean that they're, you know, coming up and saying, oh, look, I'll walk over here and sit down by the campfire and visit with this couple. It doesn't work that way. They're doing their thing. We're doing ours. And I think if there's an invasion at all, it's a slow process. But I don't think we're ever going to get this big invasion, you know, like they had in the movies. I think they're integrated with us. They already are. I think it gets more in-depth as the years go by. And I think it will continue to get more in-depth as the years go by. It's a gradual process. And I just think people don't realize how in-depth they are in our world.
Well, and another thing that you mentioned, and I want to bring this out, they're not necessarily just bystanders. Some are extremely active, and some are actually in positions of authority in the government. And I mean,
oh, we've got a lot of them. In my own personal opinion, there's a lot in the government and both parties. I'm not going to say just one.
Okay.
Do we have
any recent presidents that you think, Robin, are ETs?
You're going to get me in so much trouble. Oh, my gosh. It's not bad enough. I already had the MIB here. Let's bring them again. No, I think it's just my opinion. You know, I think that we have currently several people that are in the White House that if you were to look at them at various events, they don't match up. And I don't think it's a regular body double. I really don't. I don't believe that it's just they have somebody that looks like them. I believe that there's active ETs within the government parties that are in. I also believe that there is in the Republican, but the Democrats are in right now, and I do believe that there is some there as well. They have infiltrated our governments to a massive degree. Can I prove all this? Can I break down papers and show everybody? I can't. I can tell you what I see. I can tell you what I know. I can tell you the information that I've gathered, but that's all I can do. And I don't believe with a clear conscience that what we have in government right now is strictly human. I don't believe that at all. I think that they have their hot little ET hands in everything that we do. I do know that in certain sections of the government, they work within the government. You know, they're not, that's the other thing. They're not all bad. I mean, really and truly they're not. And there's been interference from them when it comes to nuclear warfare that we need to be very grateful they interfered with or we wouldn't be here.
Are you saying we may be so dumb that we have tried to destroy the earth and they may have stopped
us? We have destroyed the earth. Yeah, exactly. 100%. We have been given this incredible life-giving planet of earth that is a giant energizer battery that could sustain us for millions of years, and we have destroyed it. We've destroyed the ozone layers. We've destroyed the growth of the planet. We've destroyed everything about it. We've destroyed the protective layer that protects us from the heat of the sun. We are our own worst enemies. We don't have to worry about what the ETs are going to do to us because we're doing it already. And there have been times throughout history that the ETs have stepped in to help us. You know, like I said, they are not all bad. I mean, we have to really get out of that mindset that anything, I don't care what it is either all good or all bad. Everything has free will. It can determine its path if it's going to be good or if it's going to be bad. And there have been times that the good ones have been helpful, and they have. You know, we do have some that work within the governments from different people that I know of that have said, and that's coming from different ETs that I've had contact with as well. And, you know, they have not tried to hurt. They've tried to help. But then we also have the flip side of that as well.
Okay. Well, that's interesting, and I'd like to get some more opinions from our esteemed panel. Devin Tate, what do you think about all this? Do you agree with Robin, do you have any views or any thoughts or ideas about it?
Well, when I was reading the book that we've talked about here before, which I will be doing that presentation on later at your conference, they did touch on that same idea about how certain people are kind of groomed from birth to communicate with the extraterrestrials, or kind of, you know, they're kind of identified from birth and then kind of tasked and trained and integrated with the ETs, whether or not they know it. Usually they don't know it until a certain time. So I did read about that in that book.
Okay. Kyler, what do you think? Got any opinions?
I would say I was thinking about what Robin was talking about with the invasion, and I agree that there wouldn't be this like big movie production invasion, but if there was going to be any type of invasion of any sort, I think it would be like this government planned attack to make it look like it's something from outside our world, to make everyone fear anything else, so that everyone would kind of shut up about it, maybe. I don't know, that's just a random thought that went through my head.
Okay, great. Dr. Trey Donaway, you are, I'll bet you are familiar with War of the Worlds by H.G. Wells, right?
Yeah, but I'm really thinking about this question about aliens taking over. And here are a couple of thoughts. If I was an alien and I wanted to take over, I think I would go to Congress and to elected politicians, because one of two reasons. One, they don't have a brain. A lot of them just don't have a brain, evidently. And you could just replace that with an alien brain, and you'd probably come out ahead. Or they're looking for brains that really haven't been used that much, and that would be a good brain to take over, because that would explain some of the stupidity of our elected officials.
Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking.
I agree with Trey. And they're already in a position where, should they choose, they have the power to control situations. I mean, it's a perfect setup. It's a perfect storm.
But Congress doesn't control much without screwing it up. So
exactly.
Yeah.
I would think if they wanted to take over a planet, they'd find something much more intelligent than us.
That's what a smart person would do. But this is probably the best we have here. But we know we don't have the best we have in Congress. So smart people would never want to go into Congress or
become
a big elective official. The smart people think, no, I don't want that job.
Yeah,
that
there's no point.
That would be perfect for an alien.
And, you know, when they take possession, they start watching from the time you're born. They learn everybody you've ever had contact with. They know your memories. They know your thoughts. They know your movements. They know your actions. And so when they take over, you really don't realize it. I mean, there's a few subtle things that people just don't pay attention to, and it doesn't register as being off. And they simply remove the soul when they're older. I'm not saying they don't do it when they're younger, but, you know, a lot of times it's when they're older. And they simply take one soul out, and they take it out. And, it's like they're in a different skin, and people don't realize that. And I know of people that have known somebody that was in a political situation, if you will, and then that person overnight just became somebody they didn't know anymore. They wouldn't have any contact with, and their thoughts and all their beliefs and everything just changed overnight. They could never figure out why. Their mannerisms changed. Everything changed. It's like a completely different person. And you have to tend to really wonder.
Okay. Well, that's interesting. You brought something up that I want to touch on. John LeMay and I are writing a book called Bloodsuckers. And we have determined, we believe, that the Bladenboro Monster the chupacabra, and all these weird things that happened in the 30s, 40s, 50s, and 60s may have been shapeshifters. Now, we do know the standard definition of a shapeshifter is someone whose outward appearance changes. Now, as I was sitting there at the computer, you know, working on one of my chapters for this book, I thought, well, you know, and this zeroes in exactly on what Robin was talking about. There are people whose mental facilities change overnight. That's what you were talking about. And
yep.
Why wouldn't that be evidence of a shapeshifter?
Absolutely.
So I might have guessed that one correctly.
Oh,
so there's the outward
so.
Appearance
think,
and the inward appearance
people,
of a movie.
Yeah, but people aren't going to be looking for it. You know, we've really been, our world is either angry or it's sleeping. I mean, it's a snooze fest. They don't notice these subtle changes, and that's why a lot gets by. We're programmed to believe a certain way. And because we're programmed to believe a certain way, when we have things happen that are outside of that box, our brain is programmed not to accept it. And it almost like it just rejects it and it goes on about its merry way. And so when these things happen and you find these people and there's subtle changes in it, a lot of people just don't realize it, which is, it's really sad.
True. And like the reason this came up is the Bladenborough monster. Okay. That is a bloodsucker. And it happened about 50 miles north of Myrtle Beach. And all of a sudden on New Year's Day, they had this monster come up and suck the blood out of two dogs on a farmer's porch. And from there on, for about 3 years, they had lots of problems with it. A couple people were killed, and a lot of animals were killed, cattle, dogs. And so what happened in the whole reason we're writing this book is because John LeMay is such an amazing investigative reporter. And he found a story that post-dated, which means it was after the last sighting of the Bladenborough monster. There was a small school up in Robson County, which is where Lumberton is. And the kids, it was a very small schoolhouse. And they ran to the window because they saw this very strange creature prowling around the playground. And the janitor went out with a gun, because back in those days, janitors could have guns, went out there and shooed the thing away. But the janitor and several of the kids who were brave enough to come out said that this thing, it looked like a giant cat, but it had the face of a monkey. And I guess Robin's training has been too good. And I said, well, if you got a cat with the face of a monkey, that is something that hasn't shape-shifted completely. I mean, Robin, is that a correct thought?
Yeah, it's a possibility. And you know what? I wish I could remember the name of what they call that. My friend Duke Sullivan, who owns World Bigfoot Radio, would, if I was could get hold of him, he would tell me exactly what it is. We were just talking about something similar to this not even a week ago that matched that description. And there's actually a name for it. But yeah, I mean, all of these cryptids shapeshift. They can. They can blend so that, like, they can stand in front of a tree and all of a sudden they just blend into the tree. They can blend into the foliage. I've got countless photos of the Sasquatch standing in the backyard in the bushes, and their whole bodies are green because they blend in. The lizard man picture I have, he's green because he blends in with the foliage. And they can. They can shapeshift. They can blend their colorations. They can do all these things. Now, the Bladenborough monster, it's entirely possible that it was in the middle of shapeshifting. You don't know because we don't know what the actual cryptid looked like in the beginning. but it's entirely possible. It's something that you can't rule out.
Right, and also when I had and I had an experience, and I'll go ahead and I will reshare this with everyone. I was standing outside of my apartment, looking at the apartment building behind me. Now, Robin McRae, you'll remember this. I was talking to you. And a young man, about 25 years old, walked up the stairs. He was obviously going into the back door of an apartment. And I'm standing there looking and at him walk up the stairs, and he walked directly through the door.
I remember
and Robin,
that,
do you
yeah.
remember that? It's like, I
oh,
said, oh,
yeah.
my God, the guy. And so, and Robin said, well, he's a shapeshifter. I said, well, what does that mean? That was my first, I guess, experience with a shapeshifter. You said someone that can just morph into anything or walk
can,
through
yeah,
doors or
whatever. Anytime they want. Then
right.
they can go into
and,
spirit form and walk right through the door.
And I mean, I didn't know what to say or do. I mean, for a couple of seconds, I was just stunned. I mean, the door didn't open, and the cat just walked right through the door. So yep. I saw it with my own eyes. Now, and I keep telling people, if you will watch carefully, you will see anomalies all over the world. Is that correct, Robin?
Yes, absolutely.
But you have to watch carefully. And you have to critically think of, well, what did it look like a few seconds ago, and now what does it look now? And I've gotten to where every time I hear any kind of a pop or crack, doesn't matter whether I'm in my place or someone else's place or wherever, I always say, what was that? And I always try to get an answer because one never knows what a pop or a crack could be because it could be something very strange. It could be a shapeshifter. Now, I don't care, you know, I'll say this. I don't care if anybody believes me because I saw it. And Robin heard the amazement in my voice. I mean, I don't, it's like.
Oh, I believe it 110%.
And I hate to say this. I'm just too dumb to make something like that up. I mean, I just am.
People that have got their minds open to the possibilities, they don't have to believe everything that's said to them. I don't expect that of people. I don't even want that of people because people will lie. I know when I go to my grave that I've been 100% honest with all of this. I couldn't make up the stuff that I've lived through if I wanted to. So I'm good. My karma's clear. But, you know, I don't expect everybody to believe it. But at the same time, if you have your mind open to the possibility, you would be amazed what you see. The world is completely different than what we thought it was. And that means there's, you know, good things that we didn't know about and bad things we didn't know about. But it makes you allow yourself that when you see these abnormalities, your brain doesn't shut it down. It makes you aware. And that's really the key to it. When, you know, like when you're talking about ET possession, the ETs that told me about it were actually very good ETs. They were trying to get me to warn people about it, you know. So the good thing about that was not only did they give me the information to protect our people, it verified what I had learned by observation throughout my life. And the ones that I encountered that I knew were absolutely might have on the outer shell looked human, but I knew they were not. There's absolutely no way they were human, and I've been attacked by them before. I had one show up at my door with a witness. You know.
Oh, you're talking about our friend from about 2 weeks ago?
Oh, yes. Yep, and you know what? Right after that, I talked to somebody about it, and it was 2 days, and they had somebody show up at their house as well. I will never, ever believe that that was human. And, you know, in still no reason as to why he was here. Parked his car and hid his car in my yard so that his car wouldn't be seen from cars going down the road. He had a blacked out windows, came to my door. The only thing that slowed him down is 15 dogs jumping at the door. That some of them were good size, and he made the comedy. I went outside. I said, can I help you? And he said, that's a lot of dogs. And I said, yeah, and they don't like strangers. And that's not all of them.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he was lucky. Yeah, he was lucky the Pyrenees wasn't out. And she's a baby, but she is one hell of a guard dog. Oh, yeah. Yeah, she's good as gold to her family, and she's never tried to bite anybody, but she's a guard dog. You do not, if Pat or I were to tense up and feel like we were threatened, oh, no, it would be game on. But, you know, she's a baby and a love with everybody, but she's definitely a guard dog. And the dogs were very sensitive to the fact that this whatever he was not what he was supposed to be. I mean, they were literally trying to go through the glass. And you're talking, the golden retrievers are 7 months old. They aren't at that stage yet where they want to harm anybody. They want to lick you to death. And my seven-month-old male tried to go through the door at this thing. He was not having any of it. He's never behaved like that, and he hasn't done it since. And his mom's here, and she was the same way. They were, like, at the front of the line ready to go for this guy, and he could not tell me what he was there for. He gave me a name of some phony company that we looked up, and after digging around, it said that it was affiliated with the CIA. But then the CIA portion of it, they said, was for policies. Policies my ass. And he would not give me any information. I wasn't allowed his name. He handed me a paper that had all my personal information on it. And then when I said, well, I don't see your address or your phone number on here, why don't you give it to me? And I'll be happy to call you if I can think of anything I need help with. And he jerked that paper back for me so fast it wasn't even funny. And there was no information on his company on it. And he just kept saying, well, you didn't respond to us when we contacted you, and so I'm here to make sure that you make good choices. And I said, good choices with what? What choices am I making? Oh, I'm not here to sell you anything. I said, well, that's good because I'm not here to buy anything. So it works out good. But he was ridiculous, and he was relentless, but yet he never did tell me his purpose. He said he was here to check on me to make sure I was okay. I said, I don't even know you. Why the hell would you care if I'm okay? Well, we've been contacting you, but you're not responding. I said, but yet if you want me to respond to you, you're not going to tell me the name of your company and you're not going to give me your phone number. How am I going to respond? And my daughter heard the dogs going crazy, and she came downstairs and she walked out on the porch, and he was out of there so fast it wasn't even funny. You know, and this is, and I'm not bragging, but I have an exceptionally attractive daughter. Like, it's ridiculous. I take her places, and, you know, she looks very nice, is, I guess, the nicest way to put it. And
Robin, I will tell everyone, I agree. She's a beautiful girl. You're right on that.
Thank you. Yeah, and her fiancé were getting ready to go out when he got home from work, so she had, you know, her hair and makeup done and a nice pair of jeans and a tank top on. And she walked out on the porch and he wouldn't even make eye contact with her, never looked at her, nothing. I mean, I'm a fat old hag and he couldn't take his eyes off me, but yet he wouldn't even look at her and he couldn't get out of there quick enough. And he did not look normal. His skin looked almost rubbery. It was, nobody has that clear of skin, nobody. The only way you get that clear skin is if you're wearing a rubber mask, and that's what it reminded me of. Everything on him was too perfect. His teeth were too perfect. His hair was too perfect. Everything was too perfect. And after he left, we were sitting there comparing notes, Caitlin and I, and realizing different things, you know, and it didn't add up, none of it. He couldn't even give me an ink pen. And I didn't see it at the time. My daughter saw it. He had a backpack, a black unmarked backpack that he had carried up on my porch and sat down. Now, I asked him for a business card in case I thought of anything that I would need help with, even though he wouldn't tell me what he was there for. He couldn't give me one. He couldn't give me his name. He couldn't give me his phone number. So what in the hell was in that backpack? And why in the world park behind a tree so the cars going down the road can't see it with blacked out windows? He just, nothing about him seemed human. I mean, it was very, very odd.
Okay.
And well, I don't think that we've seen the last of them because I thought I saw the car go by again the other day.
He wants some Key West sloppy joes. I know that.
That's what it is. Yeah, well, he's missing out. I only make those if I know you're coming.
That's right. He only wants Key West sloppy joes. All right. All right. Well, now, Devin Tate, have you ever had an experience like Robin's where something was just not right?
Yeah, I mean, I can't think of any at the moment, but I definitely met those people where you have an interaction and it seems like they know more than they're letting on, and you know, you don't know who they are and you don't know why they're talking to you, and you know, sometimes I think maybe they make it so you forget it afterwards, you know, or you at least it starts to fade quicker than like a normal interaction would.
Okay. Tyler, how about you?
No, haven't quite had any experiences like that. I mean, I don't really know enough for anyone to care that I'm going to leak it to anybody. So, yeah, I haven't ran into anybody like that.
Well, you haven't been around ScaryCast long enough. Give you another year, and and they will all have found you.
I don't even think it has to do with anything I know, because you know what? There's hundreds of thousands of people that know a whole lot more than I do. I have no idea what it is. I really don't, because, you know, the stuff I talk about, everybody else experiences too. It's not just me. I don't, this has been going on, oh my God, 20, 30 years that I know of, and it could have been going on beforehand. For all I know, I just didn't pay attention to it. So, I mean, mm-hmm. Don't knock yourself out and think that just because you haven't had a certain amount of experiences, this stuff goes on. There are hundreds of thousands of people every year that go through this, and they have no idea why, and they're not involved in the research that I'm in. And I don't even do research. I'm just living my life. Well, you know what? The only time I really did the research stuff, and I say research, but I didn't really do much. I mean, I was living my life. This is what went on a daily basis at my house. And I had met Igor Borstev by then. And he's like, well, will you get pictures of this and pictures? Yeah, I can do that. I mean, I'm here. I didn't actively, like, start traveling the countryside doing research. I just did everything at home. You know, I would go out to some of the nearby places because I like to hike in the woods, but all the activity was in my house. Every picture that I've shown anybody, those were all taken either at the house I'm at now or the house I was at in Michigan. Like, we got one picture of a Sasquatch in the Cumberland Mountains in Tennessee. That was it. Everything else was at home. So I never even really did the research. You know, I mean, it was just a matter of being aware of what was going on. So don't ever sell yourself short, Kyler, because, you know, just exposing yourself and letting your mind be open to possibilities is all you need.
All right. Our Surgeon General, Dr. Trey Donaway, have you ever had any experiences with people and you thought something was not right? Other than me, of course, okay?
Well, no. Most of the people that I've had personal experience with that weren't right, you could correct surgically, so no.
Okay. Well, but now what about those maintenance guys that ran up the stairs?
Well, now that is the one thing that I cannot explain that to me is otherworldly. I have actually seen in a hospital on two separate occasions maintenance taking the stairs, and I don't know how to explain it other than alien invasion or something really wild.
Well,
the maintenance usually sticks to elevators. For them to take the stairs It could have been somebody, some alien could have taken them over. That's the only explanation I'd have for that.
Well, that might be honestly a little more realistic than you might think. So anyway,
yeah.
Has anybody, first of all, we have noticed, I know I have noticed, but in the last 10, 15 years, I have noticed a complete change in the morals and the behaviors of a large number of people. I mean, what I'm talking about is like, let's see, where is it? I've got, I mean, we are experiencing groups that do ritual blood drinking. They promote cannibalism, and they promote like eating grub worms. In fact, they're saying in third world countries, eat grub worms because that's a great way to get protein. I mean, what is going on here? These are like behaviors that are not normal, that are not anything that we would have heard about or experienced in the 1800s and the early 1900s, I don't think. And what does everybody think about this? And the fact that, I mean, like, and I hate to single somebody out, but I'll single someone out. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, AOC. She just does everything that, in my opinion, maybe it might be a reflection of my age, but she does everything completely backwards and wrong, and I don't understand it. And has anyone else noticed, you know, a strangeness in behaviors of people that are promoting things that, you know, kind of like you didn't grow up with? I know I think that everybody here on this podcast grew up with fairly nice parents. Otherwise, I wouldn't be your friend and we wouldn't be on ScaryCast together. But has anyone ever noticed the extreme changes in behavior that just don't seem right? Now I'm going to go back to Kyler first.
I was actually going to bring – okay, good thing you went to me first because – I wanted to say when Robin was talking about, you know, having different species and different types of things in the government, I mean, it makes sense because that's kind of all they've been doing is just desensitizing everyone to all these weird, abnormal things that we have never done before. So, I mean, if that's the case, like she was talking about, then yeah, I mean, that would be kind of expected.
Okay. All right. Devin, have you seen changes in behavior that are really a little bit more than radical and really don't make sense?
Yeah. I mean, I think politically the division in the country here is kind of driving the extremes to new extremes. So, yeah, I think we're definitely seeing things that we've never seen before, but you know, my life, you know, I'm married to another man. That would have been considered completely abnormal and, you know, out of the ordinary when my grandparents were young, you know. So part of it is just the evolution of society. And, you know, we have to make changes in our daily lives because of things like, you know, climate change and, like I said, the political atmosphere.
Right. I mean, you know, but we're seeing, you know, I think we are seeing some things that just aren't right. And I think when you talked about the political division, I will say this. It used to be back in the 70s, once the election was over, Congress sat down and worked together for the betterment of our country. And now they don't. They just don't. There's so much division that I think they're absolutely doing the opposite, and I think we can see it. I mean, it was grand when they used to just, well, okay, the elections are over, let's work together, let's make this a greater country. But they're not doing that today, so that is kind of scary. Dr. Trey, do you see evidences of odd behaviors like this?
I don't know if the number of odd behaviors is any different than it's ever been. But with social media, started off with a 24-hour news coverage. You had to find stories. Sensationalism worked 100 years ago, 200 years ago. It worked in the 18th century. It still works today. I think social media has allowed people to make a lot of money off of the bizarre and the odd. I mean, look at some of the TikTok stuff you see. The TikTok challenges that are absolutely dangerous for some people that have been responsible for deaths. So I think it's this this constant exposure to a load of social media that just didn't exist 20 years ago. It didn't exist. And now it does. And anybody can be an expert on the internet. And if they attract followings and we have these influencers and some of them do some wacky things and they've figured out how to make money from that. And unfortunately, in the process, there's been some harm to a lot of people that wouldn't have thought of stupid things to do, or they think of their own stupid things to do that maybe wouldn't be quite as dangerous to their health and life.
Okay. Very well put. You said something exactly opposite to what I was trying to reach, and I think you changed my opinion. I think you did a great job there with that answer. I really do. Robin McCray, are you noticing behaviors that seem to be abnormal or wrong or different than they would have been when you were a kid?
Yeah. I mean, the whole thing is just, it's gotten ridiculous. I mean, the behaviors in our government, I don't, number one, anybody that knows me knows I don't talk politics. I've watched too many people lose family, friends, you know, loved ones, whatever, fighting over politics. And it doesn't mean I don't have an opinion. Trust me, I have a lot of them, unfortunately. But the truth of the matter is things in politics are no longer for the people. They're for an elite group of people. Unfortunately, that's not everybody. And the we the people has gotten sidelined. You know, we watch no matter if it's Democrat, Republicans, whoever that's there, make choices that 30, 40, 50 years ago would have never flown. They would have never thought to even do stuff like this. It's like it's all running amok. You know, and I just think that there's more going on than what we know. The behaviors aren't there. The corruption is worse. And it's just a very sad situation. And like you said before, if you watch some of these political figureheads, look at them closely. Look at the mannerisms. Look at the eyes. The eyes tell you a lot. And even just to notice the skin, you know, just like whatever that was here that day, it almost looks so smooth it's rubbery, which makes no sense. Nobody has that good a skin. And watch these things fold out. And when you really try to pick it apart, you can see where some of these are abnormal. You know, the mannerisms may be off, but even it's very subtle. It's very little things, but it's not normal. And they are no longer acting as they would have perhaps a year or two before that. Nothing makes
right.
sense. Just like when I talked to the person that said, listen, this person was a very good friend of mine, known him his whole life. And then all of a sudden, one day he changed. He just simply changed for absolutely no reason, and I don't know why. And, you know, this is what's going on with him now. So that's really, it's quite frightening.
Okay, so you're noticing changes too today from 1, 2, 3, 5, 10, 15, 20 years back. Well, okay. So you've answered yes. Dr. Trey says maybe a lot of these were just that way and we didn't know them because of social media. And that, you know, that makes, that does make a lot of sense. There's an internet, there's a phenomenon that is going on in the world today. We all know about the Ouija board, don't we?
Yeah, everybody needs to stay away from it.
That's right. And in fact, I saw a cartoon. It wasn't a cartoon. It was a picture of a Ouija board rug. And it said, a Roomba, you know, the little thing that goes around and vacuums, kind of like a random thing, conjured up a demon. I thought that was about the funniest thing I ever saw. Is when you get a Ouija board thing and a Roomba goes around and it conjures up a demon. I think that's funny. However, there is a new game. Has anyone ever heard of Charlie?
No. I've heard of it.
Devin, have you heard of it?
I don't think so.
Kyler, have you ever heard of Charlie?
Nope.
It is terrifying. It is a very simple game played with two pencils and a piece of paper. And it is a way to conjure up spirits. And the first question you always ask is this you, Charlie? And the comment was made in the video that I was watching, then what on earth have you brought to earth when it says no? It's like, oh, my Lord. And it's a way to get Ouija board answers, yes or no answers, but it's frightening. And the fact is people are doing it every day, and they are conjuring up spirits. People didn't do that. Back when I was a kid, we had this thing where we folded up a piece of paper and called it a football, and we would see how close we could get it to the edge of the of the table. I mean, you know, that with our finger pushing it. I mean, you know, just people are doing crazy things. Charlie looks terrifying. Well, the nation of Fiji has banned it, and it brought to trial several teachers who they said encouraged the kids do it during their recess. And they said no, and several of those kids died because of interaction with whatever that they had conjured up. I mean, this is really terrifying. And Robin, as you said, don't mess with the Ouija board, correct?
Exactly. And, you know, there's people that will make their own homemade Ouija board, and they're like, oh, this will just be fun. It'll be safe. It really isn't.
No.
Number one, I don't even put my hands on them. They're not coming in my house. They're not coming on my property. They're not going to come around my family. People don't realize that there's something connecting with any of them, whether, you know, go to Walmart, and they sell them at Walmart in the kids section under games. I mean, people don't
Parker
understand
Brothers.
There's something. Yeah, and they just think it's a funny thing. And it really is so dangerous, because if you have anybody that has any abilities whatsoever and they don't know that they have them, you don't know that they can't connect it or charge that thing to work. And you don't know whether or not just having it in the possession will do it. Now, years ago, I had a member of my family that when she was a child played around with that thing. And she learned really early that those things are legit and things come through. And so she put a stop to it and never did it again. But the fact of the matter is they can be used to connect, and people get so worked up and excited to have that connection. And we've talked about this, John and I, before. They would rather have a bad connection than a good connection, because it's just a connection. But it doesn't work that way, because the bad stuff doesn't just come visit, harass you, and leave you alone. It just doesn't work like that.
No. So anyway, Charlie is the rage among a lot of elementary and middle school kids. And it is dangerous as all get out. And don't do it. I've seen videos. where that they would ask the first question, and those pencils would move, and I believe they did. So just don't, if you ever hear anyone playing Charlie Charlie, tell them not to do it. It's dangerous. And again, that's something that, that's a behavior that we didn't have 25 years ago.
Yeah.
I mean, kids are excited today about weird things like that. I mean, we used to be excited about, you know, when George of the Jungle would come on Saturday morning. That's what excited us. I'm sorry. So
right.
Anyway, well, folks, this has been an interesting time, and I want to thank you very much for putting up with what my little exercise here tonight. If you want to hear more, all you have to do is go to groundzero.org tonight at midnight Eastern Time or 9 p.m. Pacific Time, and Dr. John Stamey will be on the Clyde Lewis Show, Ground Zero, and it's going to be a lot of fun. And just so that you know, these are some of the questions we'll be talking about. So all I have to say is thank you for your answers, because they're going to help me do a better job and represent ScaryCast well. But as always, ScaryCast is a great thing to be a part of. And so thank you very much. We'll be back. We've got a great, great lineup of things. I have to say that November the 7th is my birthday. Sonya Thompson from The Walking Dead will be here with us, the most famous lady zombie. On December 14th, we've got the one and only Dacre Stoker. His great uncle wrote my favorite book, Dracula. And he will be here, and we're going to do a two-hour special on November the 14th with Dacre Stoker. He just won Horror Writer of the Year. I mean, he is so famous, and he was so nice. I simply sent him a message on Facebook. I said, hey, I have a podcast, and I'm your grand uncle's biggest fan. And lo and behold, he said, I'd love to be on your podcast. So great things do happen. So, yes, we're going to have him there. Everybody, I think, except for Devin, because Devin has a prior commitment, on the 15th of October, we've got a special interview with Clyde Lewis of Ground Zero, and that's going to be a blast. And we're going to come up with some great questions to ask him and look forward to the answers. So we got a wonderful October and November in ScaryCast. We've got a lot of good things coming on. So I want to say thanks to all of our panel. Our Surgeon General, Dr. Trey, thank you for being with us.
Thank you, John. Enjoyed it.
You're welcome. Robin, thank you for being here.
Oh, thanks. It was always fun.
Tyler, thank you for being here with us all the way from Texas.
Of course. I'll be here next week as well.
Well, good. And Devin, thank you very much for being here with us on ScaryCast tonight. Our not oldest host, but our first co-host. So, Devin, thanks for being here.
Of course. Have a great night.
All right. Well, everybody have a good one. We'll see you next week on the one, the only.
Take care, everyone.
Scary Cast. Bye. Let me figure out how
Bye.
To get the British lady. I got to figure out how to get the British lady to close the show. My goodness. Oh, there she is.